Philippians chapter 4, we started 19 weeks ago to discuss the subject of growth in our Christian life. Tonight, we're going to take another subject, an area in which we should be growing, an area that we should be attempting to grow. Tonight, we're going to talk about growing in the area of our attitude. Our attitude. Philippians chapter 4, once you find it, why don't you stand with me? Philippians chapter 4, we're going to start with verse number 10. Philippians 4:10, it says this, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now, at the last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am therewith, to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound, everywhere and in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to be bound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." We're going to talk about attitude tonight. Attitude. We need to grow our attitude. I don't know how often you hear the word attitude. Are you a person of a negative attitude? There are a lot of people that are born again Christians that are negative in their attitude. Has your husband told you have a negative attitude? Does your wife tell you have a negative attitude? Young people, that mom and dad have to tell you to watch your attitude. Be careful with that attitude. Friends will tell us maybe that we are struggling with our attitude. I hope the Holy Spirit will tell you if you've got an attitude problem. But let me tell you this. Bottom line, one of the things that you really, really have to work at is this. You have to tell you that you need an attitude adjustment. Because I could tell you and you could tell me, but until you're willing to tell yourself, we probably won't get anywhere. People live in denial as to the condition of their attitude. And only when we come face to face with ourselves and realize how negative we are, maybe how our attitude is not healthy. You know, there are people in this building, you are physically healthy, but your attitude's terminal. And it's going to kill you if you're not careful. Let's talk about growing our attitudes. Father, bless us tonight with your presence. Lord, the sermon again is so simple, but yet it's helpful. But God, we need you to apply it to us and our lives personally. May we not spend the night hoping someone else is paying attention, but may we tonight pay attention and take personal the teaching of the Scripture, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there. If you were listening, I want to use Philippians 4:11, and I wanted that to help us get started with the sermon tonight about growing our attitude. Listen to the verse again. It says in Philippians 4:11, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatever state I am, therewith to be content." I believe the Apostle Paul had a great attitude. He had a great attitude. And Philippians 4:11 very well expresses that. This is God speaking through Paul, but you see in that verse how healthy Paul's attitude was. He said, "In whatever state I am." Now, what's he talking about? Whatever my circumstances, whatever condition surrounds me or whatever condition I'm facing, he said his attitude was therewith to be content. That's a good attitude. And I love what he said. He said, "For I have learned." That means this. Right attitude can be learned. Paul said, "For I have learned, whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." He said, you can learn to have a right attitude. He said, whatever your circumstances, whatever you face, you can have the right attitude in those circumstances and what you face. Which also, by the way, means that if a right attitude can be learned, then a right attitude needs to be taught. So, as a pastor, I'd like to teach you scripturally and biblically about having a right attitude. My dad, growing up, had a tool he used to adjust the setting on my attitude. He'd say to me, "You need an attitude adjustment, boy." And I'd think, "I think it's adjusted just fine right now. I see no need for any changes to be made." And you know what? Remarkably, he helped me get my attitude straightened out. Your attitude is your state of mind. Your attitude is your mental behavior. Your attitude is your mind's conduct. Your attitude is the direction of your emotions, and sometimes your attitude is the direction of your intent. Your attitude is your disposition, maybe about your position. Your attitude is what I'd call maybe your mental posture. Your attitude is your thinking's perspective. Your attitude is your mind's manners. Your attitude might be your mind's etiquette, if you will. Did you know that your body can be doing one thing and your mind can be doing something else? And so you might, you know, it's very possible, young people, your dad can say to you, "Sit down there." And you sit down and obey. But written all over your face and the way that you sit down is an attitude. And you're thinking, "Well, I obeyed." But your facial expression says you wouldn't be sitting if you didn't have to, and you don't like it, and if Dad were not there, you wouldn't be doing what you were told. Your attitude influences your opinion. Your attitude influences your spirit. Your attitude influences your face. Your attitude influences your purposes. Your attitude, it influences your potential. You know, attitudes can be good. Attitudes can be bad. Attitudes can be healthy. Attitudes can be unhealthy. Attitudes can be spiritual. Attitudes could be unspiritual. Attitudes can be working well, and attitudes can be broken. Attitudes can be right. Attitudes can be wrong. Attitudes could be hot for the right thing or cold and backslidden. Attitudes can be up. Attitudes can be down. I think God is able to measure the attitude like a thermometer measures the temperature. Question for you. How's your attitude? "So I'm doing what I'm supposed to do." Your attitude says you wouldn't be, had there not be something requiring it. I love 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Listen to this verse. It says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." That's an attitude verse. That's an attitude verse. That's an all-controlling verse. Earlier when Paul said, "In whatever state I am therewith to be content," I love that. That's an attitude verse. Paul is just saying, whatever's going on, I'm going to just keep my eyes on God, and I like to be good with it. I like Philippians 4:19. It's an attitude verse. Listen to this. "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That verse right there, that's an attitude developing verse. You get that verse as a part of your thinking. You make Philippians 4:19 a part of the way you are. And I'll promise you, if you'll begin to let Philippians 4:19, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus," you let that affect your thinking, it's going to make your attitude better. You let a verse like 1 Thessalonians 5:18 work on you. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." That will affect your attitude. It'll affect your outlook. It'll affect the way you see things. That verse in Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Those are attitude verses. Those are verses that said we need to watch and be sure we understand that God gives us what we have, and we need to have the right spirit about what we have. I just love those verses. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. I think these two verses are attitude verses. And listen real carefully. Listen to the attitude verse. It says this: But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. What Paul said right there, he said, everything that's come upon me, for some reason, God's allowed it to come upon me for the furtherance of the cause of Jesus Christ, for the furtherance of the gospel. Wouldn't it be good if we could get the right attitude about everything? Let's keep our attitudes godly. Let's keep our attitudes right. And did you know something? You know, they talk about when a child is going through, they call it the terrible twos. How many here have ever experienced a child going through the terrible twos? You know, what a lot of it is a child at 2 years of age, there's a certain amount of frustration a child goes through because they're not a little tyke anymore. They're growing up. There's so many things they want to do and want to accomplish, and they can't figure out how to say it or do it, but they know it needs to be done, and they can't figure out how to make it all work. But they can begin to develop an attitude in their twos. But you know what's sad? They have the terrible twos, but I know some terrible 16s. Some terrible 30s. I've met terrible 60s. It's all about attitude. Attitude. Tonight, I want to go into three areas, and when I got to working on all this, I had so many points. I didn't think you'd have a good attitude if I kept you here all night for all the points. So I'm going to give you 3 points tonight, and then we're going to have a part two, you know, like Jaws 2. Yeah. We're going to have, next week, we're going to have part two of this growth in the area of attitude. Let me start out by saying, number one, let's all learn and grow our attitude in regard to the thing called contentment. Contentment. Contentment is an attitude thing. It's an attitude thing. Listen again as I read the scripture. Philippians 4:11 says this: Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Again, that's an attitude verse. Paul said that he had learned it. Now, folks, let me tell you, you can learn to have a right attitude. I'm glad I got around a few of the people I did growing up. I watched some people that just had fantastic attitudes. What, honey, 10 years ago today, or no, 10 years ago yesterday, your mom passed away and went to heaven. But you talk about a woman with a good attitude. She was just a happy lady, basically, whatever she faced, and she faced a lot of difficult things. I was glad I seen that. I learned something from my mother-in-law about attitude. Now, I learned something positive. You know, you say, well, I learned something from my mother about attitude, too. My mother-in-law. But listen, Paul said, I have learned. Contentment, I believe, is something you need to learn. We need to develop our attitude about contentment. Did you know that wanting satisfaction is a decision? And when you say, I want to be satisfied, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying learning to be satisfied with what you have is a decision. Contentment is not found in what you have or in what we are. But it's found in what we are. Some people think, if I had this, I would be content. I have to explain to you, there's somebody else that would love to have what you have. And what we all need to learn to do is to be content or satisfied with what we have. The word content means held together. In other words, it comes from two words, co-tento. It means held together. He was saying, in whatever state I am, I'm going to hold it together. He was content. He was not looking for more. And every one of us need to learn to be satisfied with what we have. And again, it's an attitude. Paul makes another wonderful statement. Listen to this. This is found in the same chapter, Philippians chapter 4, but it's found in verse number 18. It says this. Paul said this, "But I have all and abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you." Now, I want to stop for a second. Paul was writing to the Philippians, and he said, "I have all." I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think Paul had it all? That's what he said. He said, "I have all." He said, "I have all." But he didn't have all. But he had all he wanted. That's an attitude. You know what you need to learn? You need to learn to want what you have, and then you have all that you want. You know how people spend their time just trying to get and seek and more. No, I think all of us ought to strive to excel and go forward, but yeah, a lot of miserable people because of their attitude regarding things and getting. No, I believe when Paul said, "But I have all." I'm not shocked Paul felt like he had all that he needed. He's the one that said, "In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." And I probably need an usher to help at the door. Now, and everybody look right this way. And let me tell you something, folks. If you're saved, you're rich.
Yes, sir.
And that's an attitude thing.
Right.
If you're saved, you're rich. You say, why? We're going to heaven. The worst thing that we're ever going to face is going to happen down here. Everything gets better after this. America is spoiled. America is spoiled. We have more than any other country in the world, but you know what? We want more. Cynthia just came back from the Philippines, and right when we started the Sunday school teachers meeting, I said, "Cynthia, tell us a little bit about your trip." And she said, "It's so sad." She said, "I watched people go to the canteen or the little store, and they would buy one egg at a time. Not a dozen at a time. One egg. Why? That's all they could afford. They would buy enough oil to make a particular dish, but that's it. They didn't buy a quart of oil, so they had it in store, just what it took to make that one meal." We live in America. We are spoiled rotten. We throw away more food than other countries have on which to live, and we want more, and we expect more. The average person today is almost impossible to please. Paul said, "In whatever state I am, therewith to be content." Paul said, "I have everything. I have everything." You heard someone say, "What do you give a man that has it all?" It's hard. Now, does it really mean he has it all? Some of you, maybe there's somebody in your family, you say you can never figure out what to get the guy. Can I tell you why? He didn't want anything. And it's not that he wouldn't be thankful for what you gave him or what you gave her. It's that they just are not seeking anything. You say, how happy is that? 10 times happier than you. Did you know that if you have that attitude, "I want nothing," then everything you get is a blessing? Now, my son and I quote this verse to each other probably once a week. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. What that means is you get to hoping and then not get what you hope for, you're going to be heart sick. Can I tell you something? If you don't expect anything, everything you get is fantastic. Now, if you thought at graduation time, Dad was going to give you a Corvette, and then you end up trying to figure out what to give him, a Ford, and I knew this would start a war, a moped, I'll go with the moped. You thought Dad was going to give you a Corvette for graduation, you got a moped, you're going to be disappointed. But if you thought you're going to have to walk everywhere after graduation, and then dad gave you a moped, you'd think this is the berries. And what happens is we raise the bar in regard to our expectation, and then when we don't get what we want, we're disappointed. And it's all attitude. It's all in the way you look at it. It's all in the way you're put together. Folks, discontentment is attached to the sin of covetousness. When we're discontent, we're coveting something that we don't have. And so, may I say, all of us need to grow in our attitude. Let's grow in our attitude in this area of contentment. Here's what you need to do. Here's what all of us need to do. We need to want what we have. Want what we have. Young people, want your parents. You wouldn't be discontent with your parents if you'd want. Just want your parents. That's my mom. That's my dad. Now, I'm not against a man or a woman moving up and looking for work and trying to improve themselves, but I'm going to tell you something. If all day long, every day, at every job you've ever had, you're always looking for more, you're going to be miserable. Now, promotions and, you know, little changes here and there, okay, that's one thing. But I know people that doesn't matter what job they get, where they work, they're always looking for greener pastures. You're going to be miserable. You know what would help some of you? Want your job. Can I tell you something? I'm really I'm happy being the pastor of Twin Rivers Baptist Church. I am. I'm happy. I'm very relaxed. I'm enjoying this. It was 6 weeks ago. I had a pastor of a great big church call. He said, I'm resigning. He said, I'm retiring. I want you to come and take my church. And I said, I am so sorry. I can't do that. He said, why? I said, I don't want your church. I want my church. Amen. I'm more than happy with my church. I'm not looking for another church. Now, did you know, I rest well with that. Everybody needs to learn to want what you have. You men want your wife. You women want your husband. Want your house. I have an opinion. I've got a lot of them. May I recommend that you, if you can't afford to live in Carolina colors, I wouldn't go on Sunday afternoon and go cruising through those streets out there. You're going to ignite your discontentment. If you can't afford, I was on the way back from Moorhead City and I seen for the first time a great big billboard advertising Maseratis. Those are expensive cars. They cost more than a moped. Now, you know what would not be good for a man who likes cars? To go test drive a Maserati, because I'd never be satisfied with my moped again. So to everybody, let's work on our attitude. What attitude? Our attitude concerning contentment. Contentment is not found in what you have. It is found in what you are. You could want what you have and be happy. And when you don't want what you have, you're going to find some disenchantment in life. You're going to find yourself disappointed, let down, cheated, want what you have. And so we think that when a teenager rolls their eyes and sighs when you're correcting them, you say, oh, watch that attitude. May the pastor say something to you? Watch your attitude, adult. Want what you have. That's an attitude problem. And we have more adults with bad attitudes in this life. than we do teenagers anyway. You say, how so? Well, you're only a teenager from 13 to 19. You're an adult from 20 until 90. Believe me, there are more bad attitude adults than there are teenagers. Okay, that's point number one. Now you can see why we're cutting this into two pieces. Next week we'll get to more of it. Number two, let's grow our attitude in regard to the sufferings of life. The sufferings of life. Again, I'll read to you from the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made formable unto his death. That's an attitude verse. That is an attitude verse. You understand what Paul said? The fellowship of his sufferings. The writer realizes the best way to have high quality fellowship with Christ is by way of suffering. What a good attitude. The writer here realizes the best way to get to know Christ is through suffering. He said the fellowship of his sufferings. You know what that is? That's attitude. That is attitude. Somebody has said, this is going to be my spirit. This is going to be my attitude about suffering. When I suffer, gives me a chance to have special fellowship with God. What a good attitude. Suffering was not driving the writer of this passage, not driving them away from Christ, but drawing them up close to Christ. And folks, any of you, especially those of you that have had a few years on you, and you've been a Christian for long, surely you have experienced the trauma of a difficult occurrence. And as a result of it, you found yourself closer to Christ. It's happened to us all. And Paul said, I am enjoying the fellowship of his suffering. I hope your attitude is healthy about suffering. Getting to know God better will make all of your suffering worthwhile. Suffering is a chance to grow. Suffering is a chance to be like Jesus. He suffered like nobody. Like nobody has ever suffered, did Jesus suffer. And here the Bible says, and one of the reasons that Jesus can come alongside you when you're suffering is because he suffered like he did. Hey, have you ever met somebody that suffers the same way that you do? Oh, there's a compassion. There is a unique companionship that can go on. Oh, it's special. Well, let me tell you, Jesus suffered like nobody's ever suffered. And Paul said, when I'm suffering, it creates a connection between me and God. And I really think Paul was saying, if suffering gets me close to God, then I want to be close to God, which means I'm willing to suffer. It's an attitude thing. Everybody suffers. Everybody does. The difference is, how are you going to suffer? Suffer with a good attitude or suffer with a bad attitude? Look, whatever you're facing, whatever it is, every person in this building, whatever you're facing, there is somebody else that is facing identically what you're suffering with, or even a greater, extreme suffering in the same area you're suffering. They have a great attitude through it. What's yours? What's your suffering attitude? Are you mad at God? Are you mad at life? Are you mad at people? Are you mad at you don't know what, but you're mad? Philippians 3:10 was penned by Paul, and he suffered greatly. And I might also tell you, he was the greatest leader other than Jesus Christ in the New Testament. He was used of God. Now, how do you get used of God? You get close to God. How do you get close to God? Well, one of the ways is through suffering. I'm going to guess if you would have asked the Apostle Paul, you see how God blessed you and used you, would you be willing to go through the suffering again if you got to experience identical blessing and identical use of God? I think Paul would have said, oh, it's hard to say, but sure, bring it on. Because he wanted to be used of God. It's an attitude thing. Paul said, the fellowship of his suffering. The true character of a man, the true character of a woman, is revealed at two times. One when they're at the top, and one when they're at the bottom. When things are going tough, there's a part of you that is unmasked. Tough times prove what you are. We don't figure out what you are in the good times. We don't figure out what you are when it's smooth sailing. You figure out what you are when the tough times are upon you and the real you is uncloaked. The real you is seen. Folks, in times of suffering, you and I are to watch our attitude. We're to be growing. We're to be, as Paul said, he said, I'm enjoying the fellowship of this suffering, his suffering. I tell you, it's attitude. I love this story. I may have told this a year and a half ago, but it's worth telling again. There are some boys playing baseball out in the field. Old man was walking across the back of the field, at the home run fence, if you will. The old man was watching these boys play ball, and there's a little boy in center field, and he kept on popping his glove. He's out there, and he's just waiting for the ball to get hit. And the old man said, hey, bud, what's the score? The little boy said, ha, it's 100-0. And the man said, 100-0? He said, yes, sir, 100-0. And the man said, well, who's ahead? The boy said, they are. 100-0. They're ahead. The man said, what? And this boy was as happy and he was doing fine. And the man said, son, it's 100-0. What are you smiling about? He said, ha, we ain't got our bats yet. You just wait. Amen. That's attitude. That's attitude. You know what? Somebody with that attitude stands 10 times the chance of getting up and making a comeback and beating that team that's out ahead by 100. If he was out there with the attitude that some people have, it's bad, it's terrible, it's negative, nothing's good, nothing's right. I don't have anything. Now, you put that person behind the plate and give them a baseball bat, they're probably not going to hit anything. Would you give me a guy that says, you know what, it's my turn. I'm going to step up. I'm going to take a crack at it. He stands a chance of making something happen when it's his turn to get up to bat. Let me tell you, it's all attitude. It's all attitude. We ought to have the right attitude when it comes to being satisfied with what God has given us, our contentment. Then I think we need to get a right attitude about our suffering. Let me give you one more. Let's learn to have the right attitude in regard to our sacrifices for the cause of Christ, our sacrifices in life. Let me read a couple of verses to you, again in the book of Philippians. And so you know, Philippians is very much so a book about attitude, about our spirit and how we handle things. But let me tell you also, it contains those famous verses, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. God's saying, I want you to have joy in life. I want you to have a good attitude about life. Now, let's grow our attitude in regard to sacrifice. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says this, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. The next verse, do all things without murmuring and disputings. And then in verse 17 it says, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. That's an attitude verse. He is talking about sacrifice, and in it he talks about joy and rejoicing. Paul was talking about himself being sacrificed for God. He said, I'm almost becoming a sacrifice. What they do to me, the way they treat me. He said, but we'll do that with joy and rejoicing. Folks, let me tell you something about sacrificing for God. No matter what you give up, it will help us to do something for God, and it's always worthwhile. Everybody's asked to sacrifice for God. The difference is attitude. You know, there are some people who, when they're asked to sacrifice for God, they got a bad attitude about it. There are others that have a good attitude about it. It's just all attitude. Giving up something so someone else could be saved is not a negative, but that's a positive.
Yes, sir.
Paul said that joy was a part of his sacrifice. It was not a sacrifice that included an attitude of mourning or grief. He said, I am sacrificing for the cause of Christ, and I am joyful about it. Let me tell you, I personally don't consider it a sacrifice when you do what the Bible says. I consider that obedience. But some of you consider it a sacrifice. You're giving up your life to obey the Bible. No, what you're giving up is a bunch of stupidity and self-destruction to obey what will bless you, keep you, protect you, and honor God. But we get to thinking that we're sacrificing. I was in church on Sunday morning. I sacrificed. No, you were where you were supposed to be, doing what you were supposed to do. But let's have the right attitude about sacrifice. There are sacrifice bad attitudes, if you will. Sacrifice, real sacrifice, is not really based on what you give. It's more so based on what you have left after you give. Sacrifice, sacrifice is not even giving what you're commanded to give. That's just basic obedience. Sacrifice is when you have given beyond what you're commanded to give. For instance, if you think you're sacrificing because you're tithing, I don't want to burst your bubble. That's nowhere in the Bible is considered sacrifice. That's the minimum. Oh, I'm just sacrificing giving my tithe. You are really, really under the weather with your spiritual attitude. That's the basic. That's the minimum that you and I are to do. Sacrifice comes thereafter. It comes far on down the line. So, our attitude, our spirit, what's going on in our minds? And God comes to us and said, you need to learn contentment. You'll be happier in life. And contentment is a developed, learned attitude. Not only that, God says to us, in regard to suffering, suffering with the right attitude is going to draw you closer to God. Therefore, the right attitude about suffering is, I can't do anything about this anyway. I think I'm going to be pleasant as I go through it. That's a good attitude. That's you adjusting you to seeing it the way God sees it. Sacrifice is it's an attitude thing. I don't know how everybody else sees it. I really don't. When I was a kid, I could have inherited my grandfather's businesses. He owned a whole block in Richmond, Indiana. I mean, there's all sorts of things to inherit. I didn't want it because I was going to be in the ministry. You might say, I think there were a total of 5 businesses that my grandfather owned. And he said, he called me Jeffy. Jeffy, you're the most business-minded of all the grandkids. Now, I could have inherited that. I didn't want that because I was going to go in the ministry. You say, oh, what a sacrifice. I never considered that a sacrifice, not for a moment. I got the better end of the deal. You say, oh, I sacrificed coming to church on Sunday. No, you got the better end of the deal, buddy. Oh, I sacrificed when I got saved. What are you talking about? You didn't sacrifice when you got saved. You got the better end of the deal. Somehow we get this attitude about how much we're giving up for God and how much we're doing without for God. And what are you talking about? What an honor and a privilege that a powerful, holy God would even give us the time of day. Watch your attitude about how much you're giving up for God. Look, if you're obeying the Scripture and doing what you're supposed to do, that's a minimum you're supposed to do. But let's watch our attitudes. Next week, we're going to talk about attitude. We're going to talk about our attitude toward people and with people. do you know that there are some folks that you just don't do well with people in general? You say, well, I'm just not a people person. No, please excuse me, but let me help you with that. You got a bad attitude. You have an attitude problem. You got attitude with people. You say, well, preacher, I wish I could get along with people like you. Any of us could get along with people if we wanted to get along with people. What is that? It's an attitude problem. Next week, we're going to talk about attitude toward things. Just things. Then we're going to talk about attitude toward worry and fret. But next week, we'll talk about another half of our attitude issues. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. How's your attitude? How's your attitude? You have a negative attitude? Is your cup half full or half empty? You just have it so bad. You've got it worse than anybody. Nobody understands you. I'm so sorry. You just need an attitude adjustment. You need to look at the good things and stop looking at the bad things of life. You need to get a healthier attitude. To every Christian, whether you're a child, you're a teenager, an adult, may I challenge you tonight to work on your attitude toward life. Just your attitude. Look at what you have and be grateful for what God does and is doing. And don't be so negative about what God's doing for you. My head is bowed, my eyes are closed. Who here tonight would raise your hand to the sky and say to the Lord, Lord, you know I need to work on this attitude thing. I need to grow my attitude. Would you raise your hand? I'm not looking. No one look around. But you say, God, I need to work on my attitude. And you may put those hands down. I don't know who raised their hand and who didn't, but I'll tell you this. If you didn't, you probably have a problem. You can't sit through a sermon like that and think, oh, I'm fine. I've got the right attitude about everything. No, you don't. I'm sorry, you don't. And the thought that you don't think you need attitude adjustment is a very sad commentary against yourself. Only God knows. Only God knows who did and who did not. I didn't look on purpose. If you need the altar, you ought to come and use it tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at the altar, you come. Our attitudes. Attitude is our thinking's perspective. Our attitude is part of our opinion. It influences our spirit, our face, our purpose, our potential in life. Our attitude could be spiritual or unspiritual, good or bad, healthy or unhealthy, working well or even broken. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's an attitude verse. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. That's an attitude verse. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. That's an attitude verse. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. That's an attitude verse. What's your attitude? One more time through the song. Ushers, if you'll make sure we have prayer bulletins ready. Have a seat there if you will. And if you need a prayer